Hey, sweet mama, do you want to feel patient and calm with your children? Are you sick of constantly overreacting, yelling, and even experiencing mom rage with your family? Do you find yourself up late at night consumed with mom guilt and remorse for your words and actions with your kids? Do you wish you could have daily alone time to feel restored and connect with God? There is a way to take care of yourself guilt-free and show up as a calm, patient, and kind mama to your kids. Hey, I'm Elizabeth, and I'm a stress coach for Christian moms. I'm a wife, a mom of four, and the daughter of the King. Want to know how to become present, peaceful, and calm mama? I'm about to teach you how to connect with God, master your mindset, set healthy boundaries, and be in control of your emotions. My friend, I pray that this podcast blesses you. I'm Elizabeth, and you are listening to Emotionally Healthy Legacy Podcast. Hi, beautiful friend. Today we'll be talking about things that are contributing to mom rage. This is a very sensitive topic because it is very uncomfortable. It brings up a lot of shame and guilt and embarrassment, especially for us who are Christians and believers. We know that the Bible says, be angry and do not sin, but we all experience anger and we deal with it differently. And some of us experience it and take it out on others. Some of us take it out on ourselves. Some of us suppress it, but we all feel anger. This is an emotion that God has created and you cannot get away from it. There's just a difference between experiencing healthy anger and experiencing destructive anger. Destructive anger is when you are hurting yourself or things or other people. Have you ever experienced anger to the point of where you were scared of yourself? You were screaming, not just yelling, screaming to the point where your throat hurts. You were throwing things, slamming doors. Have you ever got to the point where you physically hurt your kids in anger? And you think to yourself, if only people knew. I hope my kids never tell anyone about this. I can tell you, I've had a few moments like that in my motherhood. And it is scary. I can tell you this. I never thought I would experience anger the way I did until I became a mom. I honestly thought I was a pretty calm and cool and patient person until I had kids. And kids start to bring these sides of you, these triggers that you literally never knew they existed. And they're coming out and you're like, whoa, who is this person? Where is this loving, caring woman or wife that my husband married? Like, I am this monster towards my kids who is literally hurting my kids with my words and my actions. I never thought I would do these things. You just want to hide. There's so much shame and guilt. And by the way, the devil wants you to keep this to yourself and hide it. I'll be honest, there's some episodes my experience with mom rage, if you scroll back, you're going to notice some episodes where I did about mom rage and my experience with it. And I have hurt my kids in rage. I still, even though I teach this, I will still once in a while experience episodes of that. And I will, as I dive in deeper into this episode that talks about things that contribute to mom rage, I know what's contributing to it. And we'll talk about it because I'm so aware and I've done so much of the work. And like, how do you repair that? How do you talk to your kids about it? We'll touch on that later on moving forward. But first, I want to talk to you things that will contribute to mom rage. This is not an excuse for you to keep acting the way that you are and hurting your family and your kids with your actions and your words. But this is for you to like check in with you. What is underneath this rage? There is always a root. You're not reacting for no reason. You're not over freaking out for no reason. There is a reason. Okay. And we'll talk about this right now. So first things first, thank you so much for being here. I know this is an uncomfortable topic and you probably clicked on it because you're like, dude, I struggle with this. This is scary. I wish nobody ever knows about this. This is so uncomfortable. I need some solutions to my problem. And I'm here. I'm here to help you and support you. And if this is you, please don't hesitate to reach out. There's no guilt and shame. I'm not going to report you to anyone. I know that it takes a lot of effort to admit that you are actually dealing with this and struggling with this. And like it's so embarrassing. I get it. I get it. And so I'm here for you, my friend. Okay. So let's get into this episode. There are things that you need to understand about the brain and how that works when we're experiencing rage. Okay. So I've taught on this before. I've explained this before, but I will go over this again. Okay. Our brain has three main parts of the brain that helps us emotionally regulate and control our actions and behaviors and our emotions. So right now, you and I are in our thinking part of the brain. This is behind our frontal lobe. This is right where your forehead is. And that is the part of the brain that helps you make positive, logical choices. This is where you, in this part of the brain, you can problem solve, you can make positive choices, you can think clearly, you can learn new skills when that brain is active and it's working well. Okay, so when we are triggered, and we'll talk about our triggers here in a second, our brain shifts us to the emotional part of the brain. It's right in the center of our brain. What happens is when we are shifted there, it shuts off our logical and thinking part of the brain. Okay, in our emotional part of the brain, we act on our emotions and it comes out in our voice and our tone. Okay, this is where it's verbal in this area. So have you had when you are triggered, when you're frustrated, when you're overwhelmed, overstimulated or something like that, and it's coming out in your tone? You're rude, you're disrespectful, you're snappy. This is the part of the brain that only sees your perspective, how you are correct and everyone else is wrong. And this is when you over-exaggerate, right? Have you ever had conversations with your kids or your spouse, or even like look back at your conversations with your spouse where you completely over-exaggerate? And you never, that is when you are in this emotional part of the brain, because the thinking brain is shut off. You're making decisions based on your emotions, not really positive or smart decisions. Okay. And when the trigger or the threat or the stress builds up enough. Okay. So what shifts us from our thinking brain to emotional part of the brain is a trigger, unpleasant event, stressors, unmet needs, a threat, some sort of threat, perceived threat will shift us to that part of the brain, and our thinking brain gets shut off and we start making decisions based on our emotions. If the stressor, the threat is continually dripping and there's no relief from that, eventually you're going to get to the point of fight, flight, or freeze. This is your survival part of the brain. It's right in the back where your brainstem is. When you're there, you're completely shut off from your thinking brain. Okay, this is when you know what you're doing is wrong, but you literally almost can't stop yourself. Have you ever had where you're experiencing mom rage? You're screaming, you're yelling, you're throwing, you're slamming things. You know, in the midst of it, what you're doing is you're wrong. You shouldn't. But you literally do not care, or you cannot stop yourself. It feels almost impossible to stop yourself. Why? Because the part of the brain that helps you stop and helps you think and remember the positive things that you should do, like walk away, take deep breaths, is completely shut off. Okay? It is so crucial to understand this. Okay? Because there's some action steps that's why it's so important. That is why it's so important to do things proactively, so you have less of these moments and you don't get to that point. But you need to understand what's contributing to that mom rage. Okay, so that is what's going on in your brain. So what's contributing to it is some sort of threat. and overwhelm stress on your brain. And as it builds up, and unless the need or the threat is reduced, eventually it will get to that point. And it's the fight, flight, or freeze. Some of us fight, some of us flee, some of us freeze and shut down. So here's a few things that I want to walk over with you that will contribute to that explosion. Now, it's not an excuse. It is still wrong. It's still damaging. It's still destructive. It is still sinful. The actions we make in that point, it's not an excuse, but you need to recognize what your triggers are that are leading you up to it so you can proactively do things on a regular basis to avoid getting you there. Okay? So one of them is a simple one that you have complete control over. Well, some of it is stimulation. When we are overstimulated, when there's so much noise and stimulation coming in, that will contribute us to shifting us to emotional part of the brain. So there's stimulation that you can control and there's stimulation you can't control. Okay. What you can control is your phone, right? The notifications, turn them off. So you're not being pulled in all these different directions and overstimulated. Turn off the notifications on your phone, your messages, your social media, turn it all off. I don't know about you, but some people have TVs on during, they're like all the time. That's creating stimulation. Music on, that's a ton of stimulation. I have enough noise for my kids. I don't need that extra stimulation. So those are the things you can control. But then there's your kids, right? And your spouse. Mostly your kids, probably just like me. I have 4 young kids, 3 boys, loud, lots of noise. They cause overstimulation for me. And I don't know what it is with boys. Oh, goodness. Well, right now, my little one this week, she's just started to just like making screams, loud screams, just to get attention. And it's so loud. And it can become too much quickly. Yesterday, I remember I'm like, Nelly, just stop. Like, tell me what you want because you're so loud and it's just getting to me. And then the kids are loud. So like, that is a thing. Overstimulation is truly a thing. And I will make a full episode on how to reduce overstimulation and like how to do things proactively so you are less overstimulated and have less sensory overload. So overstimulation, when it's built up enough and you don't get a break to calm down, it will eventually get you to the point of survival part of the brain where you freak out. Eventually, if it keeps building up and you don't get a moment to relax and decompress. Also, depending if you're a highly sensitive person, we have different tolerance levels for stimulation. That is one thing. The next thing is unmet basic needs. Okay. I'm talking about sleep and eating. Okay. So when you are sleep deprived, your brain does not have the energy to emotionally regulate. Okay. When you're sleep deprived, that's a threat to your brain. That's a basic unmet need. And your brain is thinking like, I need to sleep. I need to rest. I need to sleep. It's not thinking, oh, I need to use my energy to emotionally regulate and take deep breaths and calm down and be more calm and patient. Even though you know what you need to do, like it's so much harder when you're sleep deprived. If you think back to when you had a newborn and you were sleep deprived in the middle of the night and throughout the day, do you remember how much harder it was to be patient with your other kids or with your spouse? Do you remember how much everything was a lot more annoying and frustrating? Do you remember how much more maybe even mom rage you experienced back then? There's a reason for that. Sleep deprivation is a big contributor to having a hard time emotionally regulating. Now, this is not an excuse. I need you to understand the root, okay? You need to get to the root because if you're just focusing on emotionally regulating in the moment, it can only do so much, okay? You got to get to the root and address the root. This is the kind of stuff I teach. We always get to the root. We figure out what is the root that is contributing to you overreacting in the first place, okay? So here's the thing I want you to remember. I heard this quote sometimes and it really stuck to me. Sometimes it's not a spiritual problem. Sometimes you just need some sleep, mama. Sometimes it's not a spiritual problem. Sometimes you just need some sleep. Okay, let's leave it at that. The second one is the unmet need is food. When you are hungry, you're hangry. Why? Because your brain is focused on your unmet need again. It's focusing that you need food for survival. It's an unmet basic need. And when you're hungry, you're a lot more agitated and frustrated and snappy with your kids. And if it builds up and you add sleep deprivation and overstimulation to that, that's so much stress on your brain. And if you don't have a moment to decompress and take care of your needs, you will eventually get to your breaking point. You're not a bad mom. You're just struggling. I need you to recognize that. Okay. Get to that root. What is going on? Not what is wrong with me. What is going on with me? Okay, this is when we work through mom guilt with my clients. We don't do the shame and guilt thing. Instead of asking yourself, what's wrong with me? You ask yourself, what is going on with me? Something's going on. Get curious, mama. Okay. The next thing is when you have no time to yourself to decompress. I've told you on this podcast many times that I am an introvert and a highly sensitive person, which means I naturally need extra time to decompress and to fill up my cup and to show up as my best self. Okay. I actually need daily alone time. Absolutely daily alone time. Okay. And so I need you to check in with yourself. If you're overreacting and experiencing mom rage, is it possible that you're running on fumes? That you're completely running on empty for a long time? I was just messaging and coaching a mom today through Voxer, and she was talking about how she only takes time to herself when she's getting to that point of explosion with her family. And she's like, oh, that's right. I need to take time to myself. And I'm like, no. We need to do this as a daily thing. Fill your cup up on a regular basis so you don't even get to the empty. Your kids, your family, your mental to-do list, everything is pulling from your cup constantly. And unless you refill it on a regular basis, you will run out and you will overreact. This is not because you're a bad mom. It's because you have limits and you are a human. And God has created you that way. And you absolutely need to take care of yourself. For me personally, my morning ritual is a huge part of it. I'll do an episode on how my mornings look like at this season in life with 4 kids. My youngest is 18 months old. She sleeps through the night. You know, it's a different season than for a mama who has a newborn, okay? So, time to yourself to truly fill you up. Something that truly fills you up. For me, it is my morning ritual where I pray, where I read, where I journal, I connect with God. That is super important to me, okay? That supports me. That helps me feel better. That fills my cup up. And my tolerance level goes up so much higher. That calms my nervous system. So when there is stimulation, my tolerance level is so much higher for that. All right. Self-care, taking time for yourself, alone time without your kids, your spouse, time just for yourself. All right. The next one is hormones. I think this doesn't have enough credit to be talked about. And I think this is actually a really, really important topic. Also, like if you have ADHD, like your brain works differently than other people. And your emotional regulation is a little bit different. And that's not an excuse. That's just you need to find ways to support yourself for you not to scream and yell at your family and cause destruction and damage and hurt. Okay, let's come back to hormones. Hormones, here's the thing, I'll be honest with you. I'll be completely honest and vulnerable here. I teach this stuff. I teach emotional regulation. Yet, when it's that week of the month for me. For me, it's leading up to my cycle. It's not, so my cycle should start today or tomorrow. It's not when I start my cycle. It's the week leading to it. 6, 5, 4, and 3 days before my cycle starts. It's like I have this dark cloud over me. It feels like everything is just negative. I am grumpy and moody, and it's like I want to snap out of it, but I almost like can't. And everything just feels blah. And guess what? I am triggered and pissed off at my family's existence. The fact that they even exist and forbid need anything from me really can push me over the edge. I will do my regular morning routine. I will do all the things I need. I'll have my alone time. I'll fill my cup up. And still, during those few days of the month, I really, really struggle. And literally just a few days, I completely lost my cool and screamed at one of my boys. It was just tense. I needed him to stop agitating his brother. He was teasing his brother. His brother was distressed, frustrated, and he was just doing it. And it was really, really, I was asking him to stop and he wouldn't. And I completely lost my cool and I freaked out and I screamed. And then I'm like, oh, why did I do this? I know this. I know I should do better. And I didn't say anything damaging and hurtful. I just screamed. And I did apologize to him later. I did take ownership of it. And it is unpleasant. It is not pretty. It's ugly. And I had to apologize to God and to him. But here's the thing. I know that this time of the month is extra challenging for me. It happened to be for me my PMS week when the kids were home during Thanksgiving break. And then it happened on Christmas break. And my husband was working long hours. There's no family nearby where we live. It's just me and the kids. Thankfully, they could spend extra time outside because it's nice here in Florida. But it was challenging. It was that week for me. And right now it's like this past week for me as well. And it's hard. Sometimes you can't do anything about it. And it's just challenging. Then you just power through. And you, for me personally, I need extra alone time. I need to ask my husband for help when he's home. I'm like, please put the kids to bed. I just can't do it right now. I am so agitated. Sometimes I need to get out of the house. I'll ask him to be with the kids and I will literally get out of the house by myself, either grocery shop or a coffee shop. Just get out. I need that time, like, because everybody's existence just gets to me. So be aware of your hormonal cycle. Track your cycle. What time of the month is this happening for you? Is this something that just keeps repeating? And what can you do to support yourself? Is there foods that you can eat? Is there extra alone time you can ask for? Is there hired help you can get? You can ask your spouse for extra help and support. This is, again, not an excuse, but this is being aware, intentional, and wise, okay? Be aware of that. And if you do have hormonal issues, then address them. Take a course, hire a coach, go to the doctor. There's a ton of helpful resources available to help women with their hormones nowadays. Okay. Next one, overwhelm. Being overwhelmed, that kind of goes alongside of feeling overstimulated, but being pulled into multiple directions at the same time. This one gets to me because I naturally am a highly sensitive person and I naturally get stressed and overwhelmed, maybe easily more than an average person. Not in like an anxiety type of thing that I'm worried, but I just, my body feels overwhelmed. Things feel like too much. And when one kid is melting down and then a baby screaming and the stove, something is overflowing and my husband is calling on my phone and like another kid is running in because they're hurt and I feel pulled into multiple different directions. Or if I need to make dinner and need to do homework with one of my kids because my husband's at work and the baby's screaming, like, you get it, pulled in multiple directions at the same time. That one gets to me. And I need to typically remove myself from the situation and calm down. There's an episode, 5 Powerful and Effective Ways to Calm Your Nervous System When You're Feeling Overwhelmed. Scroll down to that one. It's just a couple months back. That one is one of my highest downloaded episodes. And that one is really gives you tangible and helpful tips that you can do today to take action when you feel overstimulated and overwhelmed so you don't overreact. That one is really, really, really helpful. Okay. So overwhelm. Being pulled in multiple different directions, feeling like you have so much on your plate, doing too much. And I don't necessarily have too much on my plate, like I'm doing too much. It's typically multiple kids have multiple needs and I need to make dinner, and or we're kind of like rushing. Those are kind of things that create that overwhelm for me that can contribute to me feeling frustrated and agitated. So here's the difference between frustrated, agitated, and experiencing mom rage. Two different things: frustration, agitation, irritation, whatever you call it. Just like that's normal, feeling just upset and like annoyed maybe, and that your kids are not listening. That's normal. Experiencing mom rage to the point where you want to hurt your kids, throw things, scream at the top of your lungs and say and do hurtful things, completely different. Okay. So we're talking here about mom rage today, and it's different. And let's come back to the last thing I want to talk about, our mindset. And that's actually something you have full control over. And actually, a lot of these things you have full control over them. There is things that you can do about them. Actually, all of them, there's something you can do about them to support yourself so you are less likely to experiencing mom rage. Okay. This is just something for you to be really aware of, like what is contributing to it. Okay. Come back to mindset. So here's the biggest mindset that will contribute to mom rage is wanting and trying to control someone or something that you are unable to control or something that's uncontrollable. I remember there's an episode earlier I released that talked about our family of origin and how our beliefs play a huge role in how we show up. And one of the beliefs that in my family of origin was, and in my upbringing, because I grew up in a Slavic Baptist conservative background, it was that your kid's behavior is a reflection of who you are as a person and how good of a parent you are. So if your kids misbehave, that means you don't control your kids enough. And the more controlling you are, the more power kind of and better parent you are because you have your kids under control, you know, something along those lines. What I want to say is that that creates the mindset that I have to control someone's behavior, someone's actions, someone's moods, someone's feelings, someone's behaviors. By the way, it's all related, right? Like if your kid is in a bad mood, there's a reason why. Just like when you're in a bad mood, there's a reason why. What if someone's trying to control you when you're having a hard time and you're experiencing anger? You're not, and we'll get to this, you're not experiencing anger because you're a bad mom or a bad person. You are struggling mentally, physically, emotionally. You are struggling and you're feeling helpless. And that is why you're experiencing mom rage. It's the flip side of hopelessness. You feel so out of control. You're trying to get control over the situation and you're experiencing mom rage. That is what was happening with my son the other day when I was telling him to stop annoying his brother and teasing his brother, but he continued to do that. I felt out of control. I wanted to control him. I thought I needed to control him. Why? Because of my beliefs, right? And upbringing that I'm still working on changing. But I was trying to control him. And technically, you can't really control anyone but yourself. You can't. You only can control your behaviors, your actions, your thoughts, your beliefs, your decisions. You literally cannot control anyone or anything else. You can only control yourself. And when you try to control someone else that you can't control, that you cannot have control over, that's when you get triggered. That is when you experience anger. And that is a big thing when we experience anger in parenting, specifically with our kids. Mindset is huge here. When we're trying to control our children, their actions, their behavior, and we feel out of control, we get triggered. Because what our belief is, like, that's a reflection of me as a parent. If my kids are not listening, especially in public, right? When others are watching, oh, what are people going to think about me? I'm a bad mom that I can't control my child. And that contributes to severe mom rage and just like boiling on the inside because you feel so out of control. Listen, the Bible tells us to have self-control, not other control. The Bible teaches us to guide our children, to mentor them, to bring them up in loving the Lord and following Him, to guide them, direct them, empower them, uplift them. It doesn't say control your children. It does not say that. But yet, in a lot of Christian circles, we were taught that we have to control our children. Do you need to mentor your kids? Do you need to guide your kids? Do you need to have boundaries? Do you need to set limits? Definitely. But there's a difference between that and controlling them and using physical force and hurt to control them. To do exactly what I said, when I said it, how I said it. There's a difference. And when you're trying to control the uncontrollable, that's when you get severely triggered and experience that mom rage. Also, when you have expectations for a two-year-old that are like unrealistic for his age, you're expecting so much out of him to sit still when he's a two-year-old. Of course, you'll get frustrated and triggered. It's all in your mindset again. And you feel out of control. And you're going to experience more triggers and eventually get to that rage point, especially if you add all these other things to it, feeling out of control, hormones, no time to yourself, feeling overwhelmed, sleep deprived, hungry, overstimulated. Add all those in. Of course, it makes sense for you to lose your cool. And you will still have moments like that. And I still have moments like that. This is not about perfections. We're humans. We're sinners. We're still going to have hard moments and hard days. My goal for you is to be aware and to do what you need to do to support yourself, to have less of those moments. So then you can set a positive example for your kids, okay? And when you do create and have moments that are ugly and destructive, you do need to apologize to your kids and restore. And we'll do an episode on that too, moving forward. But mama, listen to me. If this is you and you're listening to this episode and you're like, wow, all of this is really jumping out at me. Like, I relate so much to this. This is me. I want to let you know that you're not hopeless. You are not stuck. You are... yes, we're broken in Jesus' eyes, but you are just struggling. You're still a good mom. You're just really, really, really struggling. You're having a hard time, and I can offer you guidance and support, and we can talk and figure out what is the root in your situation that is contributing to all this and help you come up with an action plan, things that you can do today to feel better with God's help. And partnering with him, okay? So in the show notes, there's a link that says get support. And in there, you can book a 45-minute coaching call with me and come with a few questions, things that you're dealing with and struggling with, and we can address them in our coaching call. I'll give you guidance and actionable steps, things that you can do today to feel better, feel lighter, feel supported, and move the needle forward in the right direction in becoming the mom that you want to be and that God wants you to be for your children, so you can leave a positive example for them in managing your emotions well and be in control of your emotions. All right, mama, I am so glad you're listening to this. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with a friend who you know could benefit from it. And I will see you next time, my friend. Hi, friend. Did you learn something new or found value in this episode? If so, would you stop right now and share this episode with one Christian mama friend who has young kiddos and could benefit from this message? Word of mouth is the best way to spread the word and grow this podcast. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, would you please rate and review on Apple Podcasts so I know that this content is helpful and I can continue to create more episodes. This is really the only way for me to know that you are blessed by this podcast. I'll see you soon, my friend. God bless you.